This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we're on page 134, which is in the 7th juz of the Quran, Surah Al-An'am. In the previous episode, we mentioned those verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the disbelievers a number of signs and a number of questions that He commanded them to reflect upon and ponder over. For example, that if Allah Azza wa Jal was to take away someone's hearing, someone's sight, someone's ability to understand, then who would be able to restore those abilities to them besides Allah Azza wa Jal? Or if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to send upon a group of people that His punishment subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it was open or whether it was sudden, whether it was something that they anticipated or they didn't anticipate, then who other than the disbelievers would be destroyed? Allah Azza wa Jalla then told us that the message or the responsibility of the prophets and messengers and their role is simply to convey the message, to give glad tidings and to give warnings, to call people to Allah Azza wa Jalla and to remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how those who turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla as a result of that message, they accept it and they heed that warning, Allah will honor them. And Allah will forgive them for their sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow upon them the greatest of reward. And as for those who disbelieve and turn away, those who reject the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His prophets and messengers, alayhim salatu wassalam, then those are the people that will be given the everlasting punishment of the fire of hell on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah Azza wa Jalla then tells us that the prophets of Allah, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, doesn't control Allah's treasures, doesn't know the unseen, isn't an angel. He only does as he is commanded. He only follows the commands of Allah and the revelation that Allah Azza wa Jal gives to him. So those who follow that revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal alongside him, or they believe in that revelation that was sent to him, those are the people that will benefit from the Quran. And they are the people that Allah Azza wa Jal is for them their awliya, their protector and their helper in this life and the next. We concluded the last episode with those verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the status of the believers, and especially the poor amongst them and the needy amongst them, and how they, as a virtue or by virtue of their iman, are greater and more beloved in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal than the wealthy, affluent Quraysh leaders, their nobility, who are full of arrogance and disbelief and they have spite for the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jal tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, don't distance those people, those believers. Don't tell them to leave your sittings. These are the people who call upon Allah. They show humbleness before Allah Azza wa Jalla. They show devotion and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah loves them as a result. As for those people who are arrogant, who turn away from Allah with disbelief, even though they may have the power of the dunya in terms of wealth and station and influence and so on, in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they are worth nothing. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says that this is a fitna for them. That they always question, why, surely if this religion was true, we would have been favored over the poor and the needy. Surely we, with our tribes and our tribe names and our lineage and our nobility, Allah would have favored us with guidance if it was true guidance over these people who have nothing to their name, have no wealth, have no nobility, have no influence, have no station. They are nobodies, essentially, when it comes to the worldly sense. But as we said, Allah Azza wa Jal, as he mentions in that verse, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِعَلَمَ بِالشَّاكْرِينَ. Does Allah not know best who from amongst his slaves is grateful? Does Allah not know best who from amongst his slaves is sincere, who wants guidance, who will be truthful in seeking that guidance? And so Allah Azza wa Jal does not look at your wealth, does not look at your influence, does not look at all of those materialistic things. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal looks at the taqwa of your heart, looks at the purity and the nobility of your heart, and that is what he bases this upon. And it is concerning these people and their rights and the respect that they should be, that there should be afforded to the believers, that we continue with today in that topic from verse number 54 and the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذا جاءك الذين يؤمنون بآياتنا فقل سلام عليكم كتب ربكم على نفسه الرحمة أنه من عمل منكم سوءا بجهالة ثم تاب من بعده وأصلح فأنه غفور رحيم. When those who believe in our revelations come to you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then say Salamun alaykum, peace be upon you. Your Lord has taken it upon himself to be merciful. If any of you has foolishly done a bad deed and afterwards repented and mended his ways, then Allah is most forgiving and most merciful. This is from the status of the believers. I look at the way that Allah Azza wa Jal gives to them rights and gives to them honor and respect, that even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanded to deal with them in a certain way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا. And remember, if this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should behave towards the believers and the way that he should address them and so on, then what about me and you, who are less in station and in virtue than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we meet other believers, and especially those from amongst the believers who are from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the people of knowledge and the people who spend their time in worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the elderly and the people who have rights over us from our parents and others. وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا. When those who believe in our revelations come to you, meaning they are mu'mineen, they believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, they have sacrificed their desires and the temptations of the dunya and the whisperings of shaitan to submit to Allah Azza wa Jal and devote themselves to him. When they come to you, then say, Salamun alaykum. Greet them with the greeting of peace. May Allah Azza wa Jal's peace be upon you. And the greeting of peace is the greeting of Jannah, the greeting that Adam alayhi salam was taught in Jannah so that he could go and greet the angels, and the greeting of the Muslims from that time until today and until Yawm al-Qiyamah, and it will be the greeting of the people of Jannah when they enter into the abode again on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Tahiyyatuhum salam. On that day, their greeting will be the salam. What does the salam mean? What does it mean when we say may peace be upon you? The word salam means peace and safety from every evil and harm. And so when you say assalamu alaikum, you're asking for Allah Azza wa Jal's safety upon that person. For Allah to bestow his safety and his peace and his contentment and tranquility upon that individual. And what an amazing greeting when two people meet one another. And this is why it is from the gravest of mistakes that we don't teach our children what it means. We don't teach our children the importance of the salam. That when we enter into our own houses or we see our own family members, we don't give salams to one another. But rather, it's very common now, unfortunately, amongst our youth and our youngsters and our adults, that they will greet one another with good morning and hello and other types of greeting. When Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us a greeting that is far greater, nobler, and has an amazing meaning attached to it. And that is that every time you see another Muslim and you say assalamu alaikum, even if you don't complete the rest of that salam by saying wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, you don't ask for Allah's mercy and blessings upon them, but you say just assalamu alaikum, even that small greeting, that is in and of itself something which shows that you love your brother. It's something which, or sister, it's something which you spread love between yourselves through it. And that is why it is the greeting of the people of Islam, that you ask every time you meet another Muslim, that Allah bestows his safety upon them, that Allah Azza wa Jal bestows tranquility and peace upon them. And that is why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall I not tell you of something that if you were to do it, that love would come amongst you, that you would love one another, afshu salama baynakum, spread the salam. Because why wouldn't you love someone when they're making dua for you? And when you're making dua for that person, and that person then responds, and what do they say? Wa alaykum as-salam, and may Allah's peace and safety and tranquility and contentment be upon you as well. What an amazing greeting that the people of Iman have. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taught this etiquette of greeting the Muslims and responding to their greetings, and therefore it is the etiquette that the Muslims should have mutually amongst themselves. Kataba rabbukum ala nafsihi rahmah. And from the rights of the believers is that Allah Azza wa Jal has taken it upon himself that he will be merciful towards them. Allah Azza wa Jal is merciful to everyone. All of his creation is under the mercy of him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the believers have an additional mercy. And that mercy is the mercy that comes as a result of their iman. And it is a mercy of forgiveness of their sins. أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالًا. And that is that the one who out of ignorance or foolishly does a bad deed, meaning they do bad deeds, because every single human, every single Muslim sins, every single believer will do evil deeds. There is no Muslim after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is infallible in that way. Every Muslim sins, everyone commits misdeeds, everyone commits major sins and minor sins and so on, some more and some less. But Allah Azza wa Jalla has made it incumbent upon Himself that He will be merciful towards the believers. That if they do evil, so long as they do what? ثُمَّ تَابَ مِن بَعْدِهِ. But then they repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla وَأَصْلَحَ, and they mend their ways. And these are therefore the conditions of that mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Number one, that you make tawbah. And tawbah is to show remorse and regret and to turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla and seek His forgiveness and mercy and repent to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَصْلَحَ, and you mend your ways, meaning that you leave off that sin. That you make that firm conviction, that determination in your heart, that you will not turn back to sinning against Allah Azza wa Jalla, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a sincere intention in your heart. And even then, if you sin again, because of your weakness, because of the whisperings of shaitan, because of the temptations of the dunya, you are told to go back and make that type of tawbah, sincere tawbah, again. If you do this, فَأَنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ, then your Lord Allah Azza wa Jalla is most forgiving and most merciful. These are the rights of the believers. And so this verse is in addition to the verse that we mentioned in the previous episode of how the Prophet ﷺ shall not expel these people from his gatherings and his sittings. Because these are the people of virtue. These are the people that Allah will shower His peace upon, His mercy upon, His forgiveness upon. So why wouldn't you want to be in their company? Why wouldn't you want their friendship and their companionship? Why wouldn't you want to always be surrounded by people that Allah is blessing and that His mercy is descending upon? And that is why this issue of good companionship, of good friendship, of having good people around you is so important. Because these are people that Allah's blessings are continuously descending upon. And if you are in their company, then Allah blesses you as well. And that is why the Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there are a group of people who study for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They gather together to study the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla and to study the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the angels come to that gathering of knowledge and they make a ring around them. And then another group of angels comes and it makes a second ring on top of the first, and a third ring, and a fourth ring, until it ascends all the way back to the heaven. And then when they finish their gathering of knowledge and they disperse, those angels ascend back to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah asks them, and He knows subhanahu wa ta'ala, where did you come from? Who did you come from? What were they doing? What do they want? And so on. And they respond, oh Allah, we came from people seeking knowledge. Oh Allah, they only do it for your sake. Oh Allah, they want your reward and they seek refuge from your punishment. And Allah says, I grant to them, I give to them, I will give to them and respond to them as they please. That's from the virtues of seeking knowledge and learning your religion. But then the angels say, oh Allah, amongst those people was a person who was passing by and he simply sat with them. Meaning he didn't really come to seek knowledge. It wasn't really his intention. Either he came into the masjid and saw people studying, so he thought, let me go and sit down and listen to what they're saying. Or maybe it's someone that his friend grabbed, or someone grabbed and said, come, I'm going to the masjid, there's a talk, you come with me. And they bring them along. Meaning they didn't have the motivation intrinsically themselves to do so. But for one reason or another, through one circumstance or another, they end up in the same place. Oh Allah, what about that person? The Prophet said, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in this hadith, he says, and they also will have the same reward. Because these are a group of people that those who sit amongst them will not be deprived of their reward. That's an amazing virtue. That you're with people that even if you yourself are not the best, are not the greatest, are not the most virtuous, as a result of their virtue, those blessings also come to you and you benefit from them. And that is why it is important that we are people who always look for good companionship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 55, وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. In this way we explain the revelations so that the way for sinners may be made clear. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that we have made the signs clear and the revelation clear, and the explanation of that revelation is also clear, whether it is something which you understand as a result of the Arabic language or because it is from the basics of Islam, or you need to go back to the books of tafsir and the scholars of tafsir and seek knowledge from them and ask them concerning the meanings of these verses. But it is clear and it is something which Allah Azza wa Jalla has explained. وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ, but also that you would know the way of evil, the way of the sinners. Because if you know the revelations of Allah and the path of the believers, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla, as He often does in the Quran, also tells us the opposite, so that you can be aware of it, that you can seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jalla from it, that you can stay away from it, that you can recognize its danger and therefore remain far from it. Allah Azza wa Jalla has made both clear. And that is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why our religion doesn't only focus on the good, doesn't only focus on the obligations, doesn't only focus on the commands to do, doesn't only focus on the reward, but it also mentions the calamities, the trials, the evil, the punishment, because there is a balance in knowing both. And by knowing evil, you know how to stay away from it and protect yourself and others from it. Whereas if you only know good when evil comes upon you, then you may not necessarily know the way of combating the evil. And that is why Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, the famous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, he said that the people would ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the good, but I would always ask about the evil out of fear that it would strike me. So the religion has both. And you are told to seek knowledge of both, and Allah Azza wa Jal has made both paths clear. In verse 56, Allah Azza wa Jal then says, قُلْ إِنِّي نُهِيتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ قُلْ لَا أَتَّبِعُ أَهْوَاءَكُمْ قَدْ ضَلَلْتُ إِذًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. Say, I am forbidden to worship those you call upon other than Allah. Say, I will not follow your vain desires, for if I did, I would stray from the path and cease to be rightly guided. Allah Azza wa Jalla commands here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make clear that if those people are going to turn away, they're going to reject the signs of Allah, reject the message of Allah, reject the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then this is my position and the position of the believers who follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qul, say to them, Inni nuhitu an a'budu alladhina tad'una min dunillah. I am forbidden to worship those gods that you call upon besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those gods that you worship besides Allah, those idols that you worship, Jesus that you claim is the son of Allah, wherever it may be, I am forbidden from worshipping anyone besides Allah Azza wa Jal. That is my religion. That is my belief. That is the path that Allah Azza wa Jal made clear to me. قُلْ لَا أَتَّبِعُ أَهْوَاءَكُمْ. And say to them that I will not follow your desires, because their shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal, their disbelief, their rejection, their denial of Allah's signs and His message, all of it is a form of following their desires. Following the traps of shaitan, the desires of shaitan, their own whims, their own desires, because they don't want to be in submission to Allah. They don't want to have to devote their worship and their life to Allah Azza wa Jal. They would rather follow their temptations and their desires and the whisperings of shaitan. Say that I will not follow your desires. قَدْ ضَلَلْتُ إِذَا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. Because if I were to do so, then I would stray from the path. I would be from the misguided and I would not be from the rightly guided. In verse number 57, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues and He says, قُلْ إِنِّي عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّي وَكَذَّبَتُمْ بِهِ مَا عِنْدِي مَا تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ بِهِ إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ يَقُصُّ الْحَقَّ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْفَاصِلِينَ. Say, I stand on clear proof from my Lord, though you deny it. What you seek to hasten is not within my power. Judgment is for Allah alone. He tells the truth and He is the best of judges. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in this verse, again commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to continue and to state his position and say, Inni ala bayyinatin min Rabbi. As for me, I have clear proof from my Lord. My religion is not based upon heresy or hearsay. It's not based upon rumors. It's not based upon the practices of forefathers. It is based upon knowledge and evidence, based upon revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal, based upon clarity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, the believer is someone who bases their religion upon a similar level of clarity and knowledge and understanding. The religion that they use to worship Allah Azza wa Jal with, and this is even amongst the Muslims, your religion, the way that you worship Allah, the belief that you have concerning Allah, your aqeedah as a Muslim, all of this should be based upon clear knowledge. قُلْ إِنِّي عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ رَبِّي. I stand on clear proof from my Lord. What is that clear proof? The Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the understanding of the companions, the understanding of the pious, noble early generations of Muslims and those who followed in their footsteps in righteousness. That is the clear proof that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to you. That is the path that Allah told you to be upon. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is instructing here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say that your religion of shirk and your practices and beliefs and ideologies, that is something which you based upon according to your whims and desires. And the proof that it is based upon their whims and desires is that they change, manipulate, alter, add, delete as they go along and as they please. Something for one time is good, they add it. For another time it's not good, they don't add it. One group of people here, for them in that place, is no good, so they ignore it. For another people, group of people, it is good, so they do it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that this is a form of following your desires. As for me, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am upon clear proof from my Lord. وَكَذَّبْتُمْ بِهِ, even though you deny that proof. You deny Allah's revelations, you deny His message, you deny His Quran. You would rather be upon your falsehood, be upon your ignorance, be upon the following of your desires. مَا عِنْدِي مَا تَسْتَعْجِنُونَ بِهِ. As for me, I have not that which you seek to hasten. It is not within my power. What do they seek to hasten? They seek to hasten the punishment of Allah. Or they come and they say that we want you to show us this sign, that miracle, do this, do that. All of these demands that they used to make from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say to them that I don't have the power to grant to you that which you seek to hasten. Allah will send His signs when He pleases. And Allah will send His punishment if He so pleases, when He pleases. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. For indeed, judgment is for Allah alone. He alone is the one who decides, subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can force Allah. No one can make Allah Azza wa Jal do something that He doesn't want to do. No one can stand and oppose the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. All judgment, all rule, all decree is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. يَقُصُّ الْحَقِّ. He is the one who tells the truth. He does as He pleases, Jalla fi'ula. He speaks the truth, His stories are the truth, His message is the truth, and therefore His promises are also the truth. That which Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us will happen in this life, and on Yawmul Qiyamah, and in the next life, all of that is the truth. And from that truth is the abode of people and their final residences, whether that be paradise or whether that be the hellfire. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْفَاصِلِينَ. And He is the best of judges. He will judge between His servants in this life and in the next life. He will judge those who are true to the message that He sent and the revelation that He sent and the iman that He instructed people to have. And He will judge those people who turned away and rejected and refused the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse number 58, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, continuing with this theme of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stating his position, قُلْ لَوْ أَنَّ عِنْدِي مَا تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ بِهِ لَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. Say, if what you seek to hasten were within my power, the matter will be settled between you and me, but Allah knows best who does wrong. Say to them, meaning these people, that this is what you demand from me. As they said in the previous verse, that they want to see Allah's signs, these miracles that they would demand, or the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, that it should come upon them. Say to them that if that which you demand or that which you request was within my power to grant, and it was something which I could give to you, then the matter would be settled. How would it be settled? Meaning, once you have seen those signs, then there is no scope for you to disbelieve or turn away and reject, because if you do so, the punishment of Allah will come upon you. Or the punishment of Allah that you're demanding, that you want to see, if I'm truthful, if you're truthful, they would say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then show us your punishment, show us Allah's punishment, show us these threats that you're making to us. If they were to come upon you, لَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ, the matter would be settled, meaning that there would be no scope for you then to repent, to turn back, to have iman, as we know, because once Allah's punishment comes and the people see it, then that is the end for them. Just as when the soul is about to leave the body, or when Yawm al-Qiyamah is going to be established, then there is no scope for iman, there is no scope for repentance, there is no scope for increasing in good deeds or doing more in terms of goodness once that occurs, or once that time comes upon a person. Wallahu a'lamu bil-zalimeen, but Allah knows best those who do wrong. In the final verse that we will take, verse number 59, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, وعنده مفاتيح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو ويعلم ما في البر والبحر وما تسقط من ورقة إلا يعلمها ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. He has the keys to the unseen. No one knows them but him. He knows all that is in the land and in the sea. No leaf falls without his knowledge. Nor is there a single grain in the darkness of the earth or anything fresh or withered, except that it is written in a clear record. This is from the most amazing verses of the Quran that speak about the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, His power and His ability, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. To Allah belongs the keys of the unseen. لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. No one knows them except Him. Allah knows all of the unseen subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us elsewhere in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَ. That from these knowledges of the unseen is that Allah Azza wa Jalla knows when the hour will be. وَيُنَزِّرُ الْغَيْثَ. And He is the one who knows when the rain will descend and where exactly it will descend and what time and for how long it will descend. Because today, even with all of our technology and science and the ability to forecast weather and so on, we don't have it down to the exact precise moment. They still need to learn more. There's still new weather patterns that they need to study. There's still times and places that they can't determine how bad a storm will be or how bad a hurricane will come or how devastating a certain calamity will be. That is knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jalla has alone. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. And Allah knows what is contained within the wombs. We may know now, in some cases or many cases, whether that child in the womb is male or female, but we don't know if it's going to be a believer or disbeliever. We don't know how long it's going to live for. We don't know if it's going to live a life that is a life of wealth and health or a life that is going to be difficult. That is knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jalla has alone. And Allah Azza wa Jalla alone knows when a person will die and in which land they will die. And Allah Azza wa Jalla alone knows what a person will earn in terms of their deeds on the next day and on this day. That is from the knowledge that Allah has kept by Himself. لا يعلمها إلا هو. No one knows these knowledges of the unseen except Him. ويعلم ما في البر والبحر. But as for Allah, He knows it all and He knows everything in the land and the sea. And even in the depths of the ocean, that which no person can see, no person can witness, Allah Azza wa Jalla's intimate knowledge of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives us an example of this. وما تسقط من ورقة. Not a single leaf falls from a tree. All of the millions of trees that we have across the world, with all of their trees, all of their leaves, and all of their flowers, and all of their buds, not a single leaf falls in a single place except that Allah has intimate knowledge of it. إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Except that He knows of it. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. Nor a single grain in the darkness of the earth, meaning in the depths of the earth, that grain that has been planted there, that seed that is there, that has been there for who knows how long, and who knows who planted it, and who knows how long it has been there, Allah Azza wa Jalla has intimate knowledge of it. Can't be seen by me and you or the naked eye, but Allah knows it subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ. Nor anything that is fresh or withered, whether it is alive or dead, or whether it is soon to live or soon to die. None of us have that knowledge of what is contained to that intimate detail and level, but Allah Azza wa Jal knows, إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ, except that it is in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, in the record that Allah Azza wa Jal has kept. And this shows you the intimate knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal has, and His awareness subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore the God and the Lord that has this knowledge, and that has this ability to know, and that is all aware, is the one worthy of worship. Why would you make dua to other than Allah, when Allah knows intimately everything that you need? The hardships that you're going through, the difficulties that you're going through, and Allah knows best that which is best for you in terms of that response. Why then would you turn to Allah other than Allah, trust in other than Allah, ask of other than Allah, when Allah Azza wa Jal has all of this knowledge and all of this intimate knowledge of everything that exists in the heavens and the earth, including me and you, and everything that we need and that which has our goodness and salvation in it. And with that, we come to the conclusion of this episode. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.